God's grace, mercy, and peace be with us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Recently, I had a conversation with someone who was taking or planning to take a trip to Israel. And they talked about their excitement and how they were really looking forward to going to the Holy Land. But they also had some concerns. They were being told that they probably wouldn't be able to go to Jerusalem because right now it's too dangerous of a place to be. Before I went to Wales a couple of weeks ago, some people voiced concerns about me and my safety, especially after the two terrorist attacks in London. Just last week, we read about another tragedy of all places, South Dakota. We probably answered, does anything ever happen in South Dakota? And even in the church, we are not immune. Just a little over 2 years ago in 2015, all over the news was the story about the tragedy in Charleston, South Carolina, where the Honorable Reverend Pinckney and eight of his parishioners were gunned down in the historic Black Emmanuel AME Church. But this tragic act couldn't be conveniently blamed on Islamic terrorists. No, this time the perpetrator in custody had the blasphemous audacity to pretend to be one of us and to claim the name of Christ is his Lord. In fact, tragically, he was a member of a Lutheran congregation of the ELCA. So how do you come to terms with tragedies like this? And what do you do with these words from St. Paul in Romans chapter 8? We know that in all things, or that all things work together for good. Or, as another translation has it, we know that in all things God works together for good. For those who love God. For those who are called for his purpose. And so we're dumbstruck. And out of our silence, we're struck speechless by the evil at work around us and in us. And yet the scriptures tells us that the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness and confusion and terror, and speaking to us and for us and through us to others with sighs too deep for words, constantly pointing us to Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior was not a stranger to hardship and tragedy. In the context of these parables surrounding surrounding him in Matthew chapter 13, we're told first about the gathering opposition to him, including the opposition from his family. Now, most of us know missionary Dennis Meeker in Kenya. I've heard him tell stories, and I've talked to other missionaries whose call to serve overseas was misunderstood and opposed by family members, just as Jesus' was by his family, according to Matthew 12. And then immediately after chapter 13, we're informed of the senseless beheading of Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, by Herod. John's fate calls to mind that of those hostages that had been executed in our time for their faith by the evil ISIS. And so in a world of such barbary and ambiguity about existence, or even about the presence of God in human affairs, we dare to proclaim this morning that God is present. He is present and at work in all the matters of life. Even the most radical and audacious things that happen, we believe that God can and does work in and through even the worst tragedies of this life. That's what the cross and the resurrection truly mean. And we're not just talking about dry doctrines here that you learned way back in catechism class. It is in the face of tragedies that our faith is shown to be most real and authentic. It was in the face of the tragedy of the cross that God's love burst on the scene of all human predicament. And as such, it felt his healing power. It was in that love which God claims us and puts a claim on our lives for his kingdom. You see, the kingdom of God's love is at work, really, truly, in our messed up world. It's at work in our messed up lives. God at work. That is what the parables in Matthew, especially chapter 13, are about. And so the kingdom of God is more a verb than it is a noun. It is an action, not an object. The reign of God and his rule over our lives and the world is an action. And so in these parables, Jesus isn't really comparing the kingdom of God to five things, but rather to five actions. Jesus doesn't say the kingdom of God is like a pearl, but that it's like a merchant in search of a pearl. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that someone took and planted in a field and then grew. Like yeast that a woman took and mixed and then leavened. Like a treasure that someone found and hid. Like a net that was thrown and caught things. All of those things, mustard seed, yeast, a net, a treasure, a pearl, are useless if they are not put to work and used in some way. And so likewise, the kingdom of God is not some lifeless, inanimate object that we can just sort of look at and appreciate and study and dissect and say, oh, look how nice it is. No, the kingdom of God is the very life and purpose that God puts into action for us and is for us and for God and for others. You see, God is at work. Not just in some exotic, far-out place that requires a special map. The X of the cross of Christ marks the spot right here, right now, in the very ordinariness of our own lives and activities and all that are often and all too often we are afraid sometimes to admit are touched by tragedies. Life is full of them. And that is where God is at work. God works, and when God works, the end product is not junk. Being caught up in the working of God's kingdom is like finding a hidden treasure. Its value, like that of a pearl of great price, is more precious than all that we have. You see, God can make a masterpiece out of the messiness of our lives. He can transpose our disharmony into a symphony of praise. God can take the setbacks and the losses, even the tragedies in our lives, and turn them into great victories because Christ and in Christ we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Now, we are not in denial this morning. You know, not everything that happens to us in this life is good. We have to admit that. Evil and sin are very real. And as the parable of the net teaches, with the separation of the good and the bad fish, there are and will be real dire consequences to our rejection of God's gracious reign in our life. But what Scripture proclaims and what we believe is that the final word God desires to speak over us is not rejection. God's desire is that none of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance through faith in Jesus Christ. Because in Christ we know that God is for us, not against us. That there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And that nothing in all creation, not any natural human disaster, no crazed fanatic in Charleston or anywhere else can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So this group of parables also really reminds us that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. See, the parable's not dealing with any transition from good to evil or bad to good, but it speaks to the fact that both exist together in the same world. Jesus isn't trying to create a sectarian Israel to stand over against the rest of the world. No, just as he ate with publicans and sinners, so his disciples will move among the people who still disbelieve. And the dragnet, unlike the parable of the wheat and the tares, permits the picture of a variety among evil. Men are all alike sinners, but not sinners alike. And so the kingdom of heaven is as a net cast across the world, being pulled toward the final reckoning. And at the judgment, the division will happen. The angels, God's agents, will separate evil to destruction and the just to eternal life. And so we are not to be deceived by good and bad existing together in the same culture, nor are we to be the ones to execute God's judgment. Finally, the parable refers to the world as the scene of the kingdom's activity of God's work. You see, the church came into being as the fellowship of the community of believers in a society became a witness to the kingdom of God. But the movement of the kingdom is so much larger than the fellowship of believers. The dragnet is the total impact of the kingdom in society, in the world, influencing the people of God. You know, what is our dragnet? Who are the people that we are trying to encompass to also bring into the family of God? Many are going to benefit from that grace of God and His action in the world who do not yet identify with Him. But then by faith, they can partake in the fellowship of His people. See, God is at work through what God does in and through us and for us. And I know it at first may appear to be very insignificant, like a tiny mustard seed. But God's reign grows in our lives and in our community of faith, and it can be a place of refuge and nurture for others. Well, God's work at times is invisible, but like leaven, its effects are powerful, changing us from inside out to become the people that God wants us to be. The reign of God at work in our lives is so precious that, like a pearl of great price, we seek it out, giving up the precious commodity of our time in order to be where God's Spirit promises to be present. And it's in prayer and praise and study of God's Word that we are strengthened as we become followers of our Lord Jesus. You know, at the end of the parable in verse 52, Christ calls us scribes in the Greek grammar or words. Ezra in the Old Testament was the first scribe, a man devoted and dedicated devoutly to study, doing and teaching God's word. God says every scribe trained or every disciple for God's kingdom is like a householder, literally a house despot or lord, who brings out literally everything and lavishes upon others the things of his treasure, old and new. In other words, regardless of the world's tastes or demands or their rejection or their applause, we lavish God's word in the world. And then we let God work and leave the results to God. Yet all the while knowing that there will be a treasure, a pearl of the Gentiles, a net full of fish. And so as God's workmanship, as God's masterpieces, created for good works, we are signs of the kingdom of God in action. And we have the great privilege and responsibility and joy of reaching out to those who have been touched by the tragedies of life. And the message that we have to share is very straightforward. God's love in Jesus Christ is still working for good in this world. And amen to that.